تیرا میکا تھا پردیس لا دوں تیرا سسرال ہی دیس لا دوں.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. اهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. It's another beautiful Tuesday morning on our program. Yes, the bliss of marriage, part one. Every Tuesday is between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. And of course, every Wednesday is between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM. And let's welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Today being the 2nd of April 2019, which is also the 26th of Rajab 1440. I welcome my engineer brother Tobella. Ustad is with me this morning. Let's welcome our beloved honorable Ustad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa rafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Ustad, let's begin inshallah, of course, to all the listeners out there. 0847863132, that's our WhatsApp number to the international overseas countries, plus 27847863132. Honorable Ustad, is there a dua that I can recite or I can read for a husband that has wandering eyes and who is a humanizer, Ustad?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When did you realize all this, sister? Before you got married or after you got married? If you say you did not know about all this before you got married, then what was the criteria when you selected him as your spouse and husband? Did he come with a smart Merc or a BMW, be my wife? Did he flash some big money there? I'll give you so many rands and dollars and jewelry. So everything in life has consequences, we must remember. So yes, your husband is totally wrong what he is doing. But sometimes we are also partially to blame because our criteria for the selection of the spouse is some material thing only and not the deen and piety, not the character and the morals of that person as Islam, Mustafa, Habibuna, sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. So in this case, you are married, you have children now. So what should you do the way forward? So three things you have to do. Read Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. This is in the beginning of the 19th Juz, 19th Supara, where the first quarter ends. So read the dua abundantly. Ya Allah, grant us our spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. What your husband is doing, totally haram against the Quran Sharif. Surah 24, Surah Nur, our mother Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha said, radiallahu anha, Allimu nisa'akum Surah An-Nur. Teach your female Surah Nur. So the men, women, all must learn the Surah and the import and the message of the Surah. Surah 24, verse 30, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men to lower their gazes, وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ, and protect their private parts. Next verse, Surah 24, verse 31, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْدُدُنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظُنَ فُرُوجَهُنْ. That the females must also lower their gazes and protect their privates. So it shows that it is the law and commandment for both parties. Now, how are you going to change the status quo? Start ta'aleem in your house. Take the works of Hazrat Sheikh, Hazrat Maulana Zakariya, Nawwar Allah Marqadahu, 5 minutes, 10 minutes daily, and make sure you and your husband are now reading 5 daily salat. And slowly, slowly, with dua, charity, and word being punctual in our salat, then all these haram things will diminish, and they will be eroded and removed, inshaAllah. But you must keep on speaking to your husband in privacy, when he's in a good mood, mood, not in front of the children, or when he is in a bad mood, that will have negative results. Explain to him that what Allah Jalla wa Ala has commanded us, what Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, that is the best for us in this world and the year after.
Hussein, let us go to Lanesia. It says here, Mufti Sahab, does a woman need to make ghusl first at the end of her menstruation, and only thereafter can a husband want to have intimacy with her, Ustad?
Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala addresses this very question in the Noble Quran, Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 222. All the twos are together there. Surah 2, verse 222. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ They ask you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding the haiz, the menses. قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى Tell them it is dirt, pollution, napak, impure. فَأَتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيدِ You must stay separate from your wives during their menses. You can sleep with them, but Islam says that between the navel and the knees, that portion must be covered. You, the husband, cannot touch your wife skin to skin by the thighs and so forth. So all that is not permissible. So between navel and knees must be covered by the wife, by the ladies in the menses. Then we go on, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَدْهُرْنَ You cannot have intercourse and conjugal rights with her until she is thoroughly clean, she takes a bath. Quran says, فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَا After she has taken the ghusl, the bath, فَأَتُوهُنَّ You, the husband, go to her, مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ Where Almighty Allah commanded you to go. So that is Quran, Surah 2, verse 222. So after your menses, the chronological table will be, now you are sure your 6 days, 7 days, 8 days, whatever your adat, your habit is finished. You take your first ghusl, and thereafter the husband comes to you, you fulfill the conjugal rites, and back into the bathroom then. So you're going to have two quick ghusl, because maybe on the same day, because the husband was hungry for 1 week, a hungry man is an angry man.
Ustad, there's another question coming here. It says, what dua can I read for a husband who has a bad temper and to increase muhabba between us, Ustad?
Remember that why the husband got bad temper? Because of his pride and arrogance. He wants everything his way. Remember, today Muslim husbands, majority of them, don't even understand their role as a husband. You are the Amir. Amir means you must pay for your wife's expenses. You must pay for your children's expenses. You have to shoulder the responsibility of everybody's medical bill and so forth. So Amir means you are the one in charge, but you have the greatest responsibilities. Today, majority of the Muslim husbands took the meaning of Amir to be Amir, the dictator. Just command people, do this, do that, do that. And when things go against the desires, then they want to abuse the people and get very, very upset. So you must get upset if people are violating the laws of Almighty Allah. But when they are practicing something which is against our desires, but maybe it is better what they are doing, then just to lose temper, become furious with the wife, definitely unacceptable. Every husband should write this ayat and memorize it. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 19. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Treat your wives with love, with respect and equity. So that is the commandment and instruction from Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. Today we, the men, the husbands, we are sanctimonious. In front of the people, the public, we put up a show that how good we are, how humble we are, how forgiving we are. But when it comes to our wife or children, then it is the direct opposite. Then we are swearing them, abusing them, cursing them. All this is haram, brother. Look at the sacrifice our wives have made. They left the place of their birth. They left their parents. They left their siblings to spend the remainder of her life with me and you. What a big sacrifice that is. So always you have argument, walk out of the house, go to the masjid, make zikr, make dua. So remember Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu warda, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. Who can be a better, greater couple nowadays than them? Nobody in the world. They are the greatest people in this ummah after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman. Sayyida Fatima is Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, the leader of the women in Jannah. So imagine this hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes and finds Sayyidina Ali is not there. Where is Ali radiallahu anhu, oh my beloved daughter Fatima radiallahu anha? She says, Baini wa baina ushay, we had some argument, he's gone to the masjid. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to the masjid, see speck of dust on the body, on the clothing of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Wa yamsahu turab an thawbihi. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his own Mubarak blessed hands removes the dust from Sayyidina Ali's body, the father-in-law. Who is the father-in-law? Sayyidul Kawnain, Sayyidul Awwaleen, Wal Akhireen, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved, the most precious to Almighty Allah, showing humanity a lesson for posterity. You must make the home, don't go and inflame everything. So your daughter, your son-in-law, make them together. Qum ya Aba Turab, stand up, O father of sand. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's love for Sayyida Fatima increases. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's love for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam increases. So that is what we are supposed to do. Read ya wadudu, ya wadudu, ya wadud. Read the 99 names of Allah daily. Surah 7, verse 180. Almighty Allah commands us, walillahi al-asma'ul husna fadu'uhu biha. Almighty Allah has wonderful, beautiful names. Invoke and call Almighty Allah by His beautiful 99 names and see how much barakah and blessing. The house will become a home and the home will become Dar as Salaam, a home of peace, serenity and tranquility.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. 18 minutes after 11, you are tuning and listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Let us go to Bloemfontein, Haji Ibrahim. He says, Mufti Sahab, if a husband gives his wife one talaq via WhatsApp, how does one handle it and way forward? Min fadlik ustad.
When the husband gave his wife the first talaq and only the word talaq, divorce, khaskay in Afrikaans was used, then remember, during the iddat period, which is 3 menses, so the husband can take her back without tajdeedun nikah, without performing a new nikah, and this is talaq-e raj'i, a revocable divorce. So you take her back, and then you'll make mafi, and you ask one another forgiveness, and for future you will only possess 2 talaqs. However, if you gave and issued 1 talaq and the iddat expired already, now you want to reconcile, absence make the heart grow fonder, then a new nikah has to be performed. You need 2 male witnesses, you have to give the mahar and all the marital gift and a new nikah, and then for future you will only possess 2 talaqs. So that is what will happen in that scenario.
Ustaz, let us go to Binoni. There's a student saying, I'm speaking on behalf of my sister, Mufti Sahab. I need your help urgently. The brother says, it's brother Ilyas. He says, of course, my sister, meaning wife telling husband she's pregnant after he gives her a talaq. What's the masla on this, Ustaz?
Remember that when the husband gave the talaq and now the wife found out that she's pregnant, so the iddat will be the delivery of the baby. So you must remember in that case there will not be menses. So wa ulatul ahmali ajaluhunna ayyada'ana hamlahun. So the iddat will be Surah 65, verse number 4. So when she gives birth, then she will be out of iddat, whether it is 3 months, 6 months, or 9 months. So that will be her iddat period.
She's 2 weeks pregnant to start?
Yes, the 9 months will be her iddat. So you must remember in that case, your husband, take your wife back. Allah Ta'ala bless you with a baby. So you should be using common sense. Common sense is no more common. If you gave 1 or 2 talaq, take your wife back, brother.
Allahu Akbar. Ustaz, let's go to the next question. Somebody is asking here. It says, Mufti Sahab, what is the right of a woman? The right of a woman. If her husband wants to marry a second wife, can the wife say no? She does not want the husband to. What is the husband's rights if he wants to marry a second wife? The do's and the don'ts for both the parties involved. Min fadlik ustad.
Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 3 will show you what are your rights, what are her rights. Almighty Allah states, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. You can get married to 2, 3, 4 wives, but it's not carte blanche. It is with conditions. So if you fear, oh husband, you cannot do justice, as 90%, 80% of the men, Muslim men do today, that they favor one over the other, and is blatant favoritism, then you must stick to your one wife. She's old, but she's gold. And remember, if you are doing justice to both wives, then that first wife or second wife does not have the right to say that you must give divorce to the other wife. But when you are making zulam and oppressing the one wife, the old one or the new one, then that wife who is oppressed can tell you that she is requesting a talaq or divorce, or she goes to the ulama, or she goes to the tribunal, or the qazi, and that is the judge and magistrate in a Muslim country, and she requests a fasakh, annulment of marriage. Islam does not say that the wife must stay in a marriage and becoming a boxing bag, or becoming a woman who's listening to abuse and all that for another 5, 10, 20 years. So there is the law of shiqaq. Shiqaq means where the husband makes the wife's life horrible, terrible, oppressing her in different forms. So she has the rights of fasakh and annulment. You go to the ulama, you go to the various Muslim organizations who are recognized and have competent people. Then if you can't come right, just send me an email and we will tell you which ulama to contact for a fasakh and annulment of marriage, and they will inshallah call you up and then you'll explain to them, and if they are satisfied, then they will grant you the annulment and the fasakh. So that is what Islam teaches.
Subhanallah. I see Sister Nasreen from Mauritius says, MashaAllah, program Mulana Arafat and Mufti Sab, Jazakumullahu Khairan. Ustad, it says that my wife is 6 months pregnant as per her culture. Her parents say that she has to stay with them, and I am not allowed to touch her or to go near her, as it will make the baby be born with disabilities. Is there any basis for this in Islam, Ustad, from Durban?
When our people came from India, you know, our forefathers were not Muslim. Their name was Shantilal and Maganlal and other Dal and whatever. So they brought some Hindu cultures with them. And the book they brought with them is called the Lal Kitab, the Red Kitab. I don't know if you saw one, Molana. So that Lal Kitab has got a lot of superstition, fabrication. So this is one of them. Now imagine that the husband and wife are married, and now the wife is 6 months. Now she must go to her parents' place, and the husband will be cut and dry for 3 months, and then for another 40 days after she gives birth. By that time there, the husband will be tired and retired. He might even take another wife. So you must remember, all this from A to Z is totally un-Islamic. It's just a culture and tradition which encroaches and infringes on the laws of Islam. You, the husband, don't have to drop your wife off by your in-laws. They cannot impose upon you that you must let their daughter come to you or to their place. All these are just nonsensical things and have no place in Islam. She can stay with her husband till the last day. Tomorrow she's going to give birth, till today she stays. And then she wants to go to her parents' place, because thereafter you know that the husband cannot help his wife much, because there will be breastfeeding, there will be the postnatal and so many issues. So the mother, that is your mother-in-law, can do that much better. So you come to a mutual amicable agreement, so that's fine. But to say every wife is 6 months old, 6 months pregnant, now she must go to her mother's place and she'll come back after 40 days after she gives birth, all these are fairy tales and has no place in Islam.
Mufti Sab, I want to find out, when I sleep with my wife in the evenings, we like to be romantic with each other and play with each other. My question is, Ustad, to what limit can we go to before ghusl becomes compulsory, Ustad?
Remember, you say you sleep with your wife in the evening, you can sleep with your wife in the morning also, brother.
Subhanallah.
So you must remember that you can sleep with her provided you read Salat on time. So after Fajr you want to sleep with her, after Ishraq you want to sleep with her. So any time is playtime, brother. So you must remember, in Islam there is no such thing, it must be only at nights and so forth. So remember, ghusl will be compulsory after ejaculation, after orgasm and so forth. So then ghusl becomes compulsory even if there is no dukhul and no penetration. So both of you must remember this. Today I receive so many questions on this type of things. My couple are married for 5, 10, 15 years and they don't know these basic rules. So whenever there is ejaculation, orgasm, even if there was no penetration, remember ghusl is compulsory on both parties. Remember, if the husband ejaculated and wife had orgasm, then ghusl is compulsory on both.
Mufti Sam, I married for just over 15 years, but I've recently learned that my wife was having an affair for a few months. I'm trying to forgive her, but I'm unable to find the compassion in me to do so, Mufti Sam. We have children. Would it be correct Islamically to love together for the children's benefit, but to disassociate myself from her? Your input, Ustad.
First and foremost, brother, very sad situation. You married 15 years, you have 2, 3, 4 children, Allah alone knows, but you mentioned children, and now you came to realize that your wife was having an affair. We don't know what you mean by affair. Was it cyber affair, social media? Did she sleep with that person? So many possibilities, you don't have to spell it out, but I'm just giving you the various advices. So remember that if you have that in your heart, that you want to forgive her, Quran Kareem says, Allah tuhibbuna ay yaghfir Allah lakum. That she made a mistake, then you also forgive her, Allah will forgive you your sins. However, if she committed adultery, she slept with that person, then there is capital punishment in Islam for the male and female that are married and then they committed this crime of zina, adultery, then there is death penalty in Islam. Islam does not allow these type of actions to flourish. Therefore, even if they're unmarried and they committed fornication, Surah 4, verse 2, Azaniyatu Azani, Fajlidu Kulla Wahidin Minhuma Miyata Jalla, whip both of them 100 lashes in public. Wala ta'khudhkum bima ra'afa, don't show them compassion. It must be done in public, Quran Kareem states, so that you make few people a sample and example. It will be a deterrent for the society, community and nation. Imagine in South Africa if you have to do it. So how many politicians, how many people, Muslims will be whooped and so forth. So because the law is such in favor of all these criminality and vices, so therefore you see so many haramis, so many bees and illegitimate children born. So in Islam, it is your choice. The suggestion you are making that you will stay with her, but separate rooms or what have you, just for the sake of children, that is one of the options you can exercise. My advice to you, make istikhara, read, Allahumma khir li khara khire. O beloved Allah, select the best for me, wakhtar li, and choose for me, the hadith in Tirmidhi. Then whatever comes in your heart, and it's good for the sake of your children, you stay in the marriage. Otherwise, for the children to be brought up by a single parent, that creates more confusion and problems.
Subhanallah. It is exactly 11:30. We go, inshallah, for a ad break. When we come back, of course, there are questions to be posed to our Honorable Ustad. So listeners out there, don't go away. Listeners of Markaz Sahaba and listeners of Sirius FM, stay tuned.
Are you ready to live in luxury? Make your dreams come true? Find all the comforts of home and more at Castiles, KZN's very first superstore. An exquisite and modern product range in tiles, taps and sandware. Indulge yourself by visiting our showroom at 1 Willowfield Crescent, Springfield Park, Durban. Contact us on 031-579-5555. Castiles, luxury at affordable prices.
Capital Air KZN's leading brand in air conditioning, voted number one by the Daily News Reader's Choice for quality, service and price. Call 031-209-4415 or visit our showrooms Capital Air, Capital Decor and Caterquip.
Breaking news! Caterquip premium brands now launched in store bakeries, butcheries, quick shops, coffee shops, franchises, restaurants. You name the brand and we'll supply it. Call 031-309-5649 and our sales team will come see you.
At Speco, we're all about bringing family and friends together over meals made with love and our five delicious rice variants. Our rice can be used in the tastiest recipes and most innovative ideas to feed your love of all things delicious. Whether you're a mom, an entertainer, a caterer, or just a lover of food, we believe that cooking is a wonderful, creative way of expressing love for your family and friends. That's why with Speco, love is always the secret ingredient. Speco rice can be found at major retail outlets or that small grocery shop around the corner. To find out more about introducing this special ingredient into your home, call us on 0800-212-360 or visit us on www.specorice.co.za.
صوت أهل السنة والجماعة صوت مركز الصحابة
28 minutes to 12. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning. Yes, I know everyone is tuning in, listening to the Bliss of Marriage, 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, part one. I'm just going to ask Ustad one question. This brother says, I don't know where to start, Mufti Saab. I haven't been the great father to my children and a husband to my wife. Due to the heart pain I've put them through, me and my wife was living almost separate lives 2 years ago and we only like slept together once a month. During the time I was distracted by Shaitan, it came under my wife's attention that I had an affair with another woman a year ago. And since then, I admitted to it and asked for forgiveness to her and my two children. And here's the question, Ustad. My life since that time changed and my family bears witness to this. My wife, on the other hand, insists that she wants a divorce. Since she can't carry on with the pain that I caused her, her father and the Molana talked to her already, and just today she asked me again, what must she do to get out of this marriage? It's not fair, Mufti Saab. I already asked for maaf and I've changed my life. Please guide me.
Obviously, brother, from your side, you will say it's not fair, but you must realize when you hear you are married and you took your vows and remember that now you betrayed your wife. You got a wife, you got children, you yourself admit you are not a good husband, not a good father. So all these things happen to you. So can you really blame your wife when she requests a divorce? I will not blame her. Now what you need to do is this, that every day ask Almighty Allah Jalla Wala for forgiveness. Every day ask her for forgiveness. Tell her you prepared to go to the doctor, physician of her choice, to show that you don't have AIDS, you don't have sexually transmitted diseases, that was a mistake, a moment of weakness and madness that can happen to anyone. We are not Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah protect us. Always read, male and female, Allahumma hassin farji, Allahumma hassin ha, swad, noon. O beloved Allah, fortify, protect our private parts. So you will find words like this in Musnad Ahmad as well. So the point I'm making here, wife, jiska zarf bara ho, Allah inko bara bana deta hai, that who has a magnanimous heart, so Allah will elevate you. Your husband has changed for the better. Your father also wants you to stay in the marriage. You have innocent, masoom children. So my advice to you, sister, you are 100% right. He has betrayed you. He has really hurt your feelings. Islamically, there's death penalty for him. But Almighty Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim, is of forgiving, very merciful. So my advice to you, sister, your husband has made a new attempt in life and changed his life around. Forgive him for this once and tell him, write a contract. If it happens again, then automatically the talaq will fall and so forth. So in that way, it will be a deterrent for him and you will have some safety, security measures in place. And tell him to go to a doctor, physician of your choice, to see, because he was leading a life of khabith, and he went to the khabitha. He led a life of immorality. He went to the woman in the street. He had in one affair or many affairs, Allah alone knows. So you need to safeguard your interest as well and see that he does not have AIDS or sexually transmitted diseases. And in that way, inshallah, if both of you are sincere, Almighty Allah will bring you closer. Therefore, Islam says, "Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun." The wives are the clothing, the garments for the husband, and the husband is the garment for the wife. When you embrace your wife, remember, it's not bodies only meeting, the hearts have to meet. And when the hearts meet, then there's unity of thought. And when there's unity of thought, you both go in the same direction. So that is what you need, O husband, wife. Read Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud. Allahumma alif bayna qulubina. O Almighty Allah, unite our hearts, Ya Allah. Ameen. So inshallah, Allah will forgive you and forgive him.
Ameen, ameen, summa ameen. Ustad, I know this morning we had Sister Natasha. Of course, she is in school now, so we won't be hearing from her on the bliss of marriage, because she'll be in school. She's a school teacher. Now, there's a listener says that they want Mufti Saab's response regarding to the question that she posed this morning, the Palestine question this morning on a Safina to Il al-Jannah. Ustad, from your side.
Alhamdulillah, I responded to the question she asked our sister Natasha. That was around 25 past 5 this morning. My brother Tobela, our engineer even now, has prepared the podcast, and just before Bliss of Marriage, I sent it out to all of you who are on my Twitter account, my Twitter handle, at AK Hussein. At AK Hussein, AKHOOSEN. So you will have received it already, and you will see there is a question there, Palestine, the past, present, and future. So you will find the details there. Or if you are on my WhatsApp group, you'll understand 071-888-1184. So I sent it out on that as well. So inshallah, Mauna Arafat will send it out also, inshallah, from his phone to his thousands of contacts. So Maulana got more contacts than me also. So mashallah, in that way you can listen to it. Our aim is to bring justice. Remember that. What is our aim? To protect the teaching and preaching of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And we can bring about transformation through information, not through propaganda and fake news. That is what we stand for at Markaz Sahaba. That is what, inshallah, our brothers of Sirius FM, is their aim, to teach the people through Islam. And our mission will always be to liberate the land of Palestine and let the glory of the past come back in the future. So that is what we want for the people of Palestine and the world.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see Brother Luqman is asking Mufti Saab, yes, we heard your response this morning on Maulana Arafat's program, but Mufti Saab, will it ever stop? We want to know from you, Mufti Saab, you being a learned Ali, mashallah, take you from great heights. This is Brother Luqman from Lodium. Will it ever stop in Palestine, the killing, Ustad?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in the noble Quran, Inna al-batil kana zahuqa. Anything based on batil, falsehood, it must perish. If you know apartheid, Brother Luqman, you were born in Benoni, you were born where I schooled, in Actonville, and what happens? That the white minority army were the feared army in Africa. If you studied apartheid and you studied the army, the generals of the South African army, they used to say in those days, if we start today, 1st of April, 2nd of April, then in 2 weeks' time, we will clean the whole Africa up, and on the 14th, 15th, we will be there in Cairo, in Egypt, in North Africa. That was the power and the media, and they had the Western powers backing them. The Americans used to speak of constructive engagement. Constructive engagement. They're masters of words, euphemism. So you see, and what they did to the Africans, to the blacks. How many got slaughtered? How many got murdered? How many women got raped? So nobody can forget all that. What happened to us, the names. I use it openly. Oh, I was called Kuli how many times? Hey, Kuli, I can't use the word on A, they used to use. So they used to sway us us openly, we can't forget all these things. So you must remember. But you see, apartheid dismantled in front of our eyes. Today, when you ask the whitey, your father or you were voting for the national party, saying, yeah, I get next dunni. You had next dunni. Your pa had them to do for it. So they say, I got nothing to do. So I ask your father, mother got nothing to do. So you must remember this, to go and make propaganda, swart khafar. They keep the blacks out. Keep the blacks. See today. So remember, they're running away. 80,000 in Mauritius. So you must remember this, brother. Same thing is going to happen in Palestine. Insha'Allah, in our lifetime. I make dua every day. Allahumma ajjil bi nasri al-mazlumin fi Palestine, wa fi Iraq, wa fi Sham. Ya Allah, give victory to our Palestinian brothers, sisters, and children. Ameen. And the victory is near, insha'Allah.
Ameen, ameen, thumma ameen. Hussain, let us go to Springs. Sirius FM, it says, move this up if there is penetration with no orgasm, or if we just hold each other with no orgasm or penetration, if it says, do we still make ghusl? May Allah Ta'ala take Markaz Sahaba and Sirius FM to great heights. Ustad.
Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, sometimes people say we should not ask this type of questions. But our mother Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha said, Rahimallahu Nisa al-Ansar. Allah have mercy on the Ansar ladies. Ma mana'ahunna ayyatamana'ahunna al-hayau ayyatafaqahna fi deen. Their shame and modesty would not prevent them from asking the deen. I'm asking Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm asking you, if a lady came and she brought some piece of material and she's asking, that is this menses or istihaza, the Maulana today might get a heart attack, cardiac arrest, you know, and this type of thing. But if you study hadith, this is what's happened. So you must remember to learn our deen. You call this in Arabic, our Islamic terminology, mas'alatul iksal. Iksal means that Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha reports that, remember that she's teaching the ummah. إِذَا جَاوَزَ الْخِتَانُ الْخِتَانُ Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when there is penetration, فَقَدْ وَجَبَ الْغُسْلُ, that ghusl becomes compulsory upon both parties, even though there is no, you must remember, ejaculation. So once this penetration finished, ghusl is compulsory upon both parties, even if there's no ejaculation. So you, the married couples, you should learn all these things here. You want to try, you want to play, and you don't know what to do. So therefore, when I lecture to the students who are performing imamat and taraweeh, so many a time they do also crazy things, and they just go there with a smart kurta, Allahu Akbar. But ghusl is compulsory upon you. He had a wet dream. After wet dream, he thought you just wash and then you can go and make imamat, you understand, and make wudu. No, ghusl is compulsory. So we need to educate the ummah, because these are serious, serious issues.
Ustaz, you have to listen to this question. This is from Johannesburg. My question is regarding talaq, Mufti Saab. I gave my wife one verbal talaq, and a few weeks later, I typed the words talaq twice on one SMS. My wife has served her iddat. Are we officially divorced? Is there any way I can get back with her? We still love each other, and it was a massive misunderstanding, and everything was said in anger, Mufti Saab. I have another question, which pertains to this. If I make my wife pregnant now, then surely the child cannot be born illegitimate, and I can marry her again. Please, Ustad, make me maaf.
Remember, brother, no sense apportioning the blame to anybody else. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When calamity, catastrophe falls on you, then it's your own actions. My name is AK according to you. I take my AK-47. I don't have. I'm just giving example. In that AK-47, there are three bullets. And now I go and shoot three people. Oh, one person three times. And I say that I was so angry and I just pulled the trigger. But now please forgive me. But the fact remains, the person is injured or is dead. So you, brother, you gave one talaq, then you give two more talaq, and now all three talaq. Finish, the marriage is finished. Now you want to look for loopholes. If you make a pregnant, the child is a bee, is an illegitimate child. You're living in sin. Every moment you and your wife will be under the curse of Almighty Allah. So you must remember the ramifications, the consequences of our own actions, our own speech. So this is the law of Allah, Surah 2, verses 229 to 30. I'm giving you the references. The hadith of three talaq is mentioned. Three talaq is three, is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. We are not like the Christians that we say three is one and one is three. There's no trinity business in Islam. So even in talaq, three is three. And there's consensus among all the schools, Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanafi's, Hanbali's, all three talaqs have taken place. Brother, you say all this happened in anger. Who gives talaq to his wife when he is in a happy mood and romancing, kissing her and doing other things? Who gives talaq? So it is normally given in anger. So therefore that excuse does not hold any weight in Islam. I'm afraid to say, but I will say it, my brother. You and your wife are history. You have to go on with the geography. She has to lead her own life. You have to continue your own life. Quran Kareem states, وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَا يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِّن سَعَتِهِ. When you gave the talaq, then she will become independent of you. You will become independent of her. Now to say that I love her and all that is all water under the bridge, brother.
Wallahu Akbar. Ustad is asking you again one more time. Is there any way I can get back with her? We still love each other.
No, you can't get back. Finish. End of the story.
Khalas, khalas. Jazakumullah khairan, Ustad. Ustad, there's somebody saying here that they want to know, do foster children inherit from the mother that fed them? What other laws apply to foster children and their foster parents? Is it a
adopted parents, foster children, foster parents, stepchildren, stepparents, none of them inherit. I mentioned six masalas there. Number one, that you are a foster father or a foster mother. You are a foster child, son or daughter. You are a stepfather, stepmother, or you are a stepchild, or you adopted father, adopted mother, adopted child. So you apply to the parents, you apply to the children, none of them inherit. But Islam knows there will be some form of attachment. So what you should do in a case like that is that after the burial, funeral expenses, then you come to the debts of the deceased. And whether it's personal debts, corporate debts, company debts, all that must be expedited. And remember, justice delayed is justice denied. This is the tragedy of this Jahil Ummah. This Ummah today are ignorant, 80%. You will find, instead of paying the father's debts, mother's debts, husband's debts, wife's debts, they're more interested in giving musallas to the masjid, more interested in giving some food or some clothing to poor people. All that is voluntary. You must worry about the debts first. The person will not enter Jannah and Paradise unless they pay the debts. That is what Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Nafsul mu'mini mu'allaqatun biduyunihi hatta tughza anhu. Authentic hadith in Tirmidhi and Musnad Ahmad. So pay the debts of your deceased and make sure all the creditors are paid. Third one is wasiya, to bequeath. You bequeath maximum 1/3 of the total estate to none heirs. So you can now bequeath for your adopted son, adopted daughter, adopted parents, foster father, foster mother, foster child, stepfather, stepmother. So that is where the law of bequeathing comes in and wasiyah comes in. And then number four will be the shares of the heirs.
Subhanallah. Who said you have to listen to this question? This one says, Mufti Saab, I am 21 years old and engaged, pilot by profession. I can't get married before the age of 26. This is a restriction from my profession. And just because of this official restriction, my parents are not marrying me. And I have a fear that we will commit sin because we talk and meet. And we can't control this natural feeling, Mufti Saab. I want to ask, what are the primary requisites of nikah? Is nikah valid without informing wali? Despite of the fact he allows me to marry, can we make nikah in secret with two shaheed, that's witness and mehr, without informing our parents now? And I have read that the Hanafi school allows nikah without a wali. Ustad.
Remember that I don't know which company or whether you're speaking of South Africa and so forth.
UK.
Because, Must be UK, because in South Africa, I have friends who are pilot. One pilot, I fixed him up. So you must remember that we told him, go here and I'll intercede for you. So alhamdulillah, he's got 3-4 children nowadays. So I was just wondering, he was less than 26 when we fixed him up. Mm-hmm. So yes, in UK. So my brother, I don't know that what are your options, but basically these are the three options I'll give you. You are working there for ABC company, and this is their law that they tell you that you can't get married before you're 26 years old and so forth. You're 21. Obviously, Islamically is unacceptable. That clause is unacceptable. And practical reasons also is unacceptable. You can't be waiting for 5 years. So what options do you have? One option you have is you resign from that company and you give them the reason. And then you go into a private company where they won't mind that you can do your piloting and flying and what have you. So look at your options. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Those people who have taqwa through piety, Allah opens doors for them and Allah gives them risk from such avenues they never expected. So that is one option. Second option will be that you get married to that girl, but you can't be marrying her without the consent of her father. So the father gives permission and you perform the nikah and so forth, and you don't inform that company. If they find out, the worst thing we'll do is they'll fire you. So you must remember that, but your nikah will be valid. There's no problem in that. Their law will not be applicable on your nikah. So they saying you can't get married, but you get married to her, a proper nikah, not secret nikah. The father of the girl gave permission and so forth. So remember, there's two witnesses, then the nikah, the marriage is valid. Third one, brother, you must be very careful. People here selectively, they suffer from, you know, amnesia. So you must remember these terms, brother. You're a pilot. You're going right in the sky. And you got 200-300 passengers behind you. So people, they have selective amnesia, selective hearing. You mentioned one word there that the Hanafi school allows it. That's not true, my brother. The fatwa of the Hanafi school is this. If there is a lady and she is aqila baligha, she's sane, she's mature, and she belongs to the Hanafi school, and if she marries a boy, and remember, without the father's permission, the biological father's permission, now we will see, if she got married to someone in ghair kuf, someone not compatible, suitable to her, then the fatwa of the Hanafis is that nikah is null and void. And if you want a reference, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib, who was the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, we met him also, rahimahullah, in Imdadul Muftin, page 551, has passed this fatwa. So you need to be careful how you explain the Hanafi school. So don't look for all that loopholes, brother. You know, there in the plane, you get loopholes and a lot of trouble happens there. All the passengers start reading the kalima then. So my brother, do things properly. Either you resign from them, look for alternate, or you get married with the permission of the lady, and in that way there you continue with life and you don't have to comply with their laws. Worst to worst, what they can do, they'll fire you. So, but at least you will be married and leading a chaste life, and all this messaging and contacting between you and she, all that is haram. Remember that. Remember, even if you're not meeting, but darling, I'm missing you, I dream about you, while I'm piloting the people, I think of you. So all these things must come to an end. It's all haram. This.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. 6 minutes to 12. There's a brother wants to know, Ustad. He says, Mufti Saab, I have a habit before going to work. I always put burfi into my wife's mouth. But my wife, she's getting suspicious about me. She says, why every day you putting burfi in my mouth?
You must tell her you're practicing on the sunnah. So tomorrow when you put barfi in a mouth, you must tell her, my barfi, come here, let me give you some barfi.
Subhanallah.
And sometimes she don't want barfi, tell her, honey, come here, let me give you some honey also. So in that way there, she will be sweet with you all the time, inshallah.
I see brother Tobel is having a good laugh. Ustad, I'm interested in getting married to an alima. We are fixed. However, after investigating, we found out that she used to date. My family says I should make a runner before marriage. But a part of me feels like this is a past. She has made tawbah and changed her life. What does Mufti Sahib advise on this, Ustad?
When the students who are ladies, girls, they tell me the Alima, then I always tell them, just change the term. This term Alima don't suit you. Mm-hmm. Because today all these 99% in the world, South Africa and other parts of the world, I've been to, alhamdulillah, many places. And so it's all hit and run business. You understand? In 2 years, 3 years, they become Alima and this and all that. So say you are a Taliba, say you are a student, that's fine. We still consider ourselves as students. People can give us titles, it means nothing. So when we sit as a student, Allah Ta'ala will take great work. Now that is your choice. My advice to you, brother, if your parents are not happy, then just call it off. If they are happy, you go ahead or you make istikhara and so forth. It's good to give people a second chance. But more important in life is to always take the du'as, the blessings of our beloved parents. Wife is replaceable, husband is replaceable, car is replaceable, everything is replaceable. My beloved father, my beloved mother, your beloved father, mother are irreplaceable. Never disappoint them and you will go far in life. Life, brother.
Subhanallah. Ustaz, we go to Lodium again. It says, Mufti Sahab, tonight is Laylatul Mi'raj. Can I be intimacy with my wife on the night of Mi'raj?
You want to take your wife on Mi'raj, my brother. So you must remember, that's good. So you will don't miss your Isha and Fajr, Isha Fajr Salat. So Mustafa, this morning I gave the hadith to our brothers in Jami Masjid. Mm-hmm. I told God that the hadith is authentic in Mishkat Sharif. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man salla salat al-isha'i bi jama'atin faka'annama qama nisfa al-layl. Wa man salla salat al-fajri bi jama'atin faka'annama qama al-layla kulla. Whosoever reads Isha Salat with Jama'at, the men and the woman you read at home, then as though as you made ibadat and worship Allah half the night. You read Fajr Salat with Jama'at in the masjid and the man and the woman at home on time is like you make ibadat the whole night, mashallah. So now after Isha, you and your wife, mashallah, you get busy. And then 3, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, you take ghusl and you read Fajr time. Totally permissible. No problem, my brother.
Subhanallah. Ustaz, we've got about 2 minutes left. There is a question saying that, could Ustaz please touch on that? They say Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled to Mi'raj speed of lightning. How possible is that, Ustaz?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala mentions this in the beginning of Surah 17 verse 1, in the beginning of the 15th part of the Noble Quran. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. So it was a miraculous nocturnal journey, and the means of conveyance for Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam was buraq. If you understand buraq, barq. It moves at the speed of lightning. Today you go Japan and they have that wonderful trains. We were there in the train. It's a bullet train and so forth. So what is there? Almighty one Christian asked Mustafa, Muslim, that how did Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam go for Mi'raj? So how he went up? So the Muslim answered two answers. He said that your Bible says in Genesis and other places that remember Nabi Adam, Prophet Adam came down. So the same road that he came down, he, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, went up. You believe, Christian, Jesus went up. How Jesus went up, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam went up. So what is the problem? So remember, these are miraculous miracles and we believe in them without a shadow of doubt. Inshallah, that's the end of our program. 12 o'clock news. Day after, brother Alpha Sinkosi with a wonderful program, Current Affairs. 1 o'clock Adhan, 5 past 1 Tafsir. Today we start with Surah Mujadala. Surah Mujadala, we start a new chapter, a new part, 28th part of the Noble Quran. And half past 1 to 2 will be Surah Tawbah from our archives. 2 to 4, Sheikh Zakaria, inshallah, with the mercy of Allah. 4 to Maghrib will be Mona Khalid Yaqub. Thereafter, the surahs. And 7 to 8 will be our brother Alamin Templeton, business matters. And today is Tuesday, so Tuesday night, tech talk with Maulana Bilal Katrada, inshallah. Wonderful lineup. Make dua for us. Go for Mi'raj also. Yourself, meaning fulfill the rights of Almighty Allah and creation. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And yes, I will be in Mi'raj this evening, inshallah. As Ustad said, I will be with my wife, Ustad. Why not? Inshallah. 12 o'clock, spot on. Up next is the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali. We leave you and love you. I see somebody from Mauritius. They want the podcast of Mufti Saab's question this morning. So inshallah, you will get it. Inshallah, just go to the website.
Website, inshallah.
From myself and my beloved Ustad, we see you tomorrow again, part 2, 11 to 12, the bliss of marriage. So we will see you inshallah tomorrow morning on a safina to ila al-jannah. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ahdina sa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.